Good morning. That was pretty good. 8:45 had trouble with that this morning, but thank you. Good morning. It is indeed a good morning because we are gathered together and God is present in this place. If you're a visitor among us, we're especially glad that you're here. We hope that you'll sign in on the attendance pads that are at the end of each pew and let us know who you are and how to contact you so that we can be in touch with you this week. I'd like to draw your attention to a few things. We are in the midst of raising money for our habitat build. Each year we raise enough money for half of a habitat house, and that amount is $30,000. The amount that we've raised so far is $25,541. And if you can't do that math in your head, that means that we have $4,459 still to go. We want to raise this money for Danielle Beach and her family, and so if you would like to donate to that, simply mark Habitat on your check and place it in the offering plate, or you can give online at westendumc.org/give-to-habitat. Next Sunday, our Andrew ministers are having a training. If you have the gift of hospitality and want to make sure that West End is a warm and welcoming place for visitors, we would love to have you join our Andrew Ministry team. You can come next Sunday at 9:45 a.m. in McWhorter Hall, which is just below our sanctuary. You don't have to commit that morning, but if you'd like to come and learn more about what it means to be an Andrew minister, we would love to have you. And if you're a current Andrew minister, we'd love for you to come back. There are some new things on the horizon that we want to make you aware of, so please come. Registration is now open for our Wednesday night suppers. You can sign up online or by calling the church. And finally, this is our last full week to register for the mindfulness workshop. The deadline is August 21st. You can see your bulletin insert for more details. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God this morning.
Thank you. We gather to worship our God. We gather to follow Jesus.
He encourages us never to fear, for he is near.
We gather to be filled with the Spirit.
Who anoints us so we can go forth to serve the world.
The deepest longing of our hearts is to be forgiven and embraced by our God. As we confess our sins, God speaks peace to us and makes us whole. Join me as we pray together in one voice, saying, "In truth, God of silence and seas, we are more adept at making waves than calm storms. We find it easier to push people out of the boat rather than make room for those who are different from us. Our lives are such a whirlwind of activity that we do not notice your presence or hear your silence singing your shalom to us. Have mercy on us, God of patience. Grab hold of us to keep us from drowning in our oceans of temptations. Give us the words to speak of your hope to others. Fill our hearts with the love of Jesus Christ, which is nearer to us than we dare to imagine." Immediately, your sins are forgiven, your life is restored, and grace becomes your guide through this life. Thanks be to God. We are not left alone, but take heart in the forgiving love of our God. Amen.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Jared and Ashley Smith bring their daughter, Avery Virginia Smith, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Ashley and Jared, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this person now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround her with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. And so we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and Avery Virginia, who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Amen. Avery, Virginia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now all of us here are going to place a hand on you, or place your hand on the shoulder of someone close by as we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Avery, Virginia, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Miss Avery, we're going to see how this goes, okay? We're going to go visit your church family here. You sound like a soprano, I think. You may be in the choir one day. This is your church family. These are all the people who are making their promises today to help raise you in the faith, to live a life that becomes the gospel, so you can know how much Jesus loves you, and you can share that love with the whole world. So in a moment, we're going to make those promises, and we're going to live them out day by day.
Will the congregation please stand and face Avery, Virginia? It is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Avery, Virginia, to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Today we have before us backpacks and preschool bags and diaper bags that will be carried to and from schools and preschools by the children and youth and adults and people that are involved in education of this church. These backpacks will contain work to be done, work that's been returned, books to be studied, tools to complete homework, notebooks, pencils, pens, crayons, toys, and other items used for schoolwork or preschool will find their way in and out of these backpacks. Some days, so many items will fill these backpacks and preschool bags that each child or adult may find it difficult to walk. And other days, the backpacks may be light and nearly empty. But on each and every day, these backpacks represent that God is present with you. And West End United Methodist Church cares about each child, youth, and adult who participates in our schools and colleges and universities. And as we bless these fast backpacks, I want to invite anyone in our congregation who is involved in a school, a college, a university, in some way, to stand where you are during this litany and blessing.
Let us pray. O holy God, the time has come when school begins for this year. As these, your children, begin their studies, we ask a blessing on their backpacks, in which they carry the books and notebooks, markers and pens and pencils they will use to learn. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer.
Bless, O God, all who teach our children in the coming days and weeks and months. Give them wisdom to find inspiration for each and every child. Give them the energy and creativity and love that will make their work a blessing to our children. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer.
Bless, O God, all school administrators, counselors, custodians, safety officers, food service workers, and school board members, that they may be faithful stewards of the resources entrusted to their care. Make them fair and merciful, able to do their crucial work with a spirit of grace and compassion. O Lord of life and love,
hear our prayer.
Bless, O God, each one of us gathered here, that we will seek every opportunity to grow in our knowledge and love of you. In our Sunday morning groups for youth and children and adult learners, our covenant discipleship groups, our morning and evening Bible studies, our youth small groups, and our choirs, grant that we may see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer.
Bless, O God, these children, those whom we have promised to love and nurture at their baptism. Keep them safe. Keep them excited. Keep them ever seeking to learn and to develop their gifts. Grant that through their study they may gain the tools to grow in love, faith, and service all their days. O Lord of life and love, hear our prayer. Amen. Thank you. I finished writing my sermon on Friday afternoon. But after hearing the news about what happened in Virginia yesterday, I decided I needed to rework my sermon a little bit. So it won't be as polished as it might have been, but I hope it will be faithful. Will you pray with me? O God, may the words that I speak and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If you haven't heard about what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia this weekend, let me fill you in a little bit. A group of white supremacists marched on the main quadrangle of the University of Virginia's campus on Friday, and then again at a park in Charlottesville yesterday. Counter-protesters showed up both times, and violence broke out, which led to multiple injuries and at least three fatalities. One of the photos I saw of the counter protests was of a group of clergy standing arm in arm together. At once I felt both proud of these folks who share my profession and also a little bit ashamed. I felt ashamed because even as I cheered them on, I wondered in my heart if I would have had the courage to join them if they had, those white supremacists had descended on Nashville. I thought about my safety and how frightened I would have been to go face to face with people who were shouting hate and inciting violence. Would I have let my fear overpower the call to do the right thing and stand up to evil? Earlier this week, as our Tuesday Bible study groups discussed our text for today, I told them that this passage had convicted me. We were talking about Peter and his decision to step out of the boat and walk toward Jesus. He and the disciples were in a boat in the middle of a storm. They saw Jesus coming to them, and they thought he was a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Have courage. It's me. Don't be afraid." We don't know what the other disciples thought, whether or not Jesus' words comforted them. But it's clear that for Peter, Jesus' words weren't enough. Peter needed proof that Jesus wasn't a ghost, that he was the real deal. I told the folks at our Bible studies that this text had really made me think about whether or not I would have had the courage to step out of the boat. In fact, it had really made me think about the risks that I've taken for my faith lately. And the truth is, I can't think of one real risk. I've managed to create a life in which I don't have to step out of my comfort zone very often. And let's be honest, that's a privilege that I enjoy as a well-educated, middle-class white woman. So when those images of the protests flashed across my screen this weekend, I couldn't help but wonder, would I have gone? Would I have taken the risk and stepped out of the boat? I thought about Peter's experience. And I wonder what motivated him to step out of the boat in the first place. Maybe it was his curiosity. Maybe it was his doubt. Maybe it was just his adrenaline kicking in, his fight or flight response. He was either going to confront a ghost or discover that it was indeed Jesus walking toward him. Whatever his motivation, Peter took the risk and began to walk. Wouldn't it be cool if that was the end of the story? That would be a great ending. Peter bravely stepped out of the boat and confidently walked toward Jesus. Cue the dramatic music and film credits. If only Peter were a movie-worthy hero. But he wasn't. He was a real person with doubts and fears like the rest of us. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked around and realized what he had just done. He actually stepped out of a boat in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, and walked toward what might have been a ghost. And so he began to sink. How many of us have had that experience? We've taken a risk, we've got our eyes on the prize, we're focused on our goal, and then we realize what we're doing, and we allow our fear and our doubt to take us off course. When I was a kid, my parents gave me a brand new bike for my birthday, and it was beautiful. It was purple and white, it had tassels hanging from the handlebars, it had a white banana seat with anchors on it. As you can imagine, I was very excited to learn how to ride this bike. So my dad went out front with me, and he held on to the back as I started to pedal. As I gained more confidence, I began riding faster and faster, and my dad had to start running to keep up with me. I had been riding for a few moments when I realized that I didn't hear my dad anymore, and I glanced back, and he was half a block behind me. And as soon as I realized he wasn't with me anymore, I fell over. I could tell that my dad was trying to conceal a smile as he pulled me up from the cement and gave me a hug. In the same way, I picture Jesus chuckling to himself, trying to conceal his smile as he pulls Peter up from the water and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Silly Aaron, silly Peter." Jesus could have easily condemned Peter for his fear and his doubt. Others certainly have. Jesus could have ridiculed Peter for his lack of faith or given him a lecture about how worthless he was as a disciple. After all, Peter couldn't even recognize and trust his friend. But Jesus didn't do that. "You of little faith," he said. Little faith. Not no faith, not bad faith, but little faith. Mustard seed faith, perhaps. Not faith without fear and doubt, but faith that's willing to take a few risky, scary steps and then cry out for help when the going gets tough. And you know what? That little faith is what enabled Peter to recognize Jesus. Peter's willingness to step out of the boat is what gave him the eyes to see who Jesus really was. And it's what allowed the other disciples to witness the saving work of Jesus and worship him. I think that fear can either paralyze us or motivate us toward action. And I know that my natural instinct is the former. Deer in the headlights might be a good description. But what if the only way we can really recognize Jesus is if we step out of the boat? What if the only way to grow in our faith is to take a few risky, scary steps out of our comfort zone? Professor Clifton Kirkpatrick quotes Ernest Campbell, who's a former pastor of Riverside Church in New York City. Ernest Campbell said, "The reason that we seem to lack faith in our time is that we're not doing anything that requires it." Kirkpatrick goes on to say, he was right. The key to faith and fullness of life in Christ is to follow Peter's example and be willing to step out of the comfort and security of the boat and head into the troubled waters of the world to proclaim the love, mercy, and justice of God that we find in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, "Being a disciple is risky and exciting business, but that is exactly what God calls us to do and to be. And God assures us that if we get out of the boat, we can count on the accompaniment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." A number of years ago, our church stepped out of the boat. If you've ever been down to the lower level of our building, you may have noticed a plaque on the wall. It's pretty inconspicuous, and I probably passed it about 50 times before I ever stopped to read it. But here's what it says. "In this space on November 14th, 1994, the first patient was cared for by the volunteers of the Interfaith Dental Clinic. On our 20th anniversary, we thank the members of West End United Methodist Church for faithfully serving God by helping the working poor live healthier lives." I'd never heard the story about West End's involvement in the founding of Interfaith Dental before, and I was curious to know the story, so I asked around a little bit. I learned that a dentist, Dr. Tom Underwood, had the idea for the clinic. He was a member here at the time, and he had gone with our church on a number of mission trips to offer dental care to impoverished people. But he began to wonder why Nashville dentists couldn't do the same thing here at home. They would need a space out of which to operate, though, and so they began to explore what it would mean to base Interfaith Dental Clinic here at West End. I learned that while many people here at the church supported the idea, it wasn't all smooth sailing to get it approved. Concerns were raised about the church's liability, about that many people coming in and out of the building, and there were many conversations about whether or not the church should take the risk. But as one person reflected, it was a risk, and these decisions are never easy. But we can't let that stop us from doing what we're called to do. And they didn't. A couple of years after the idea was proposed, the church council finally approved the plan, and the Interfaith Dental Clinic was born. Today, they have two clinics that serve a 10-county region in Middle Tennessee. Last year alone, they had almost 13,000 patient visits, and the work they did relieved the mouth pain of over 1,500 people. And all it took was a little faith and a group of people who were willing to take a few risky steps. So here's the really hard question. What are our next risky steps? Maybe you're ready to join a peaceful protest or risk being arrested for justice. Maybe you're ready to take major risks for the sake of your faith. If you are, I'm so glad that there are people like you in this world. We need you. But if you're like me and you're risk averse, what can we do to step out of our comfort zones? I don't think that we have to do anything crazy or dangerous out of the gate. I'm not talking about skydiving for Jesus here. Maybe we could work up to that. But what if we could do one thing this week to take a baby step out of the boat? What if we could tell an acquaintance our faith story? Or simply sit with someone in their grief? What if we could befriend a struggling single parent or sign up to tutor children at a local school? What if we could object when someone said something racist or sexist or homophobic? What if we could actually stand up when someone is being a bully and say no? What feels risky to me may not feel risky to you. We all have different fears, and honestly, I don't know that we're all called to take the same risks all the time. But I do know that the vows that we have taken, that we affirm every time someone is baptized, is that we will accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. So what if, instead of allowing our fears to paralyze us, we let our faith guide us, as little as that faith might be? The truth is, it's much less scary inside the boat. And if we step out, we might look around and begin to sink. But what if, in our sinking, we're able to recognize the one who walks on water, and he reaches down to save us, and he turns our terror into praise? I think I'm ready to take a step. How about you? You stand as you're able and join me as we affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us here today, and if you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad you're here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer questions that you might have, and they are always stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. And you can always find them by looking for their blue name tags. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card, and we invite you to use that to record your prayer requests, indicating if those requests are to be shared or to be confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Also, please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of who it is that's sitting next to you and who is worshiping with you so that you may greet them and say hello to anyone that you may not know at the end of the service. We come to our time where we share our prayer concerns. We continue to be in prayer for the family and friends of Rodney L. Bragg, who died on July 31st. Services were held for Rodney this past Thursday, August 10th, at Trevecca Nazarene Community Church. We also pray for the family of Linda and John Murdoch, who are mourning the death of Linda's mother, Mary Elizabeth Crockett, who died August 9th in Alabama. Services were held there on Friday, August 11th, and among her other survivors are her grandchildren, Carolyn and John Murdoch. And then we also lift up our hearts in prayer together and in a bit of sorrow at the news of the sudden death of West End United Methodist member Jerry Edwards, who some friends and family also knew as Mac. And he died several days ago unexpectedly while visiting his sister in Kentucky. And finally, we pray for a world that seems too often ready to lean on violence and war as a way of solving our problems. And we pray most especially for those caught up in the violence in Charlottesville. And we decry the sin that seems to stay with us, that sin of white supremacy, that rears its ugly head time and time again and has been used to justify violence against persons of color and persons that are in our midst. Now, Lord, prepare us now to hear you speak to us as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of wonder, we come before you in prayer as people called into radical faith. You beckon us out onto the deep waters. You call us to put our whole trust in you. And although the winds are strong and the waves are rough, we know you will not let us go. You are God of all creation. From the mountains to the seas, we pray for this earth that we call home. We know your presence is revealed throughout it. Help us be better stewards of this wondrous gift. Merciful Lord, who ministers to the crowds, we pray for all persons across the globe. May your love and healing be known among persons near and far. When poverty and violence and greed and injustice and certainly oppression seem to rule the day, may your reign of justice and righteousness overcome. Good and gracious God, we lift our voices with Peter as he cries, Lord, save me. Because you are the one who sustains us. We pray for all of those who may be sick or hurting in body, mind, or spirit. Be with them, Lord, and be with each of us. Strengthen us in faith. When we've reached our limits and our courage fails us, help us know that you are present to us in all things and at all times. God of Spirit, you are our guide and companion. Draw us ever nearer to you and one another. As we pray, as Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As people of God, we are called to step out in faith. And we give our tithes and our offerings as a part, just a small part, of this journey with God.
forth this week to take a baby step out of the boat. And as we go, may we remember that the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with us now and forever. Amen.